2 Timothy chapter 1. For God hath not, verse 7, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the suffering, of the afflictions of the gospel, according to the power of God. Now, I want to talk about, the first thing is be not ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. We spent all day yesterday talking about what that testimony was. And to be ashamed of it means that it's that you calculate before you talk about it. Do you understand what that means? You calculate. You normally, from my own experience and from what I've seen, the testimony of the Lord is your death, the cross. It's a whole nine yards. But the last ones that you talk about that to are your family, unless they're part of the Bible study. And the reason is that it's so out there. And so, in effect, that makes you ashamed of the testimony. Does everybody understand?
Is the testimony just relating to spiritual issues, matters, events? Is that
the testimony of the Lord is that it's finished, that the human race is dead, that all of their goals and ambitions are fruitless. That's the full counsel of God, the full testimony. You've been perfected by one offering. You own all things. It's finished. You can't possibly have a want or a need. This combined issue is the testimony of our Lord.
Now, the gospel.
Well, it's the gospel. It's the doctrine to which we've been delivered. It's all those things.
Okay.
So, again, my bet is that each one of us, at some point, have been ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. It's easy to say, "Well, I became a believer and now I'm all happy and everything is wonderful, and I used to be a dope addict and now blah, blah, blah." But that's not the testimony of our Lord. Everybody understand me?
Yeah. The testimony of our Lord includes suffering and hardship.
What?
Hang on. I had it and lost it. Sometimes I think it's not we're ashamed of our testimony. It's the fact that we are ashamed to say that we are believers, particularly in current society.
Yeah, there's that too. But the deeper thing is what that testimony means. The word testimony, this is an unbelievable translation, but the word testimony here is martyrdom, but in this verb form, this form is martyrion. So everybody knows what a martyr is. Fox's Book of Martyrs. You can read all about the people that died because of their testimony. Their testimony of the Lord was the full counsel of God, and that's what we are ashamed of. What?
I heard distinction when Sue spoke about my testimony versus his testimony.
Right. Your testimony is you're a believer.
I'm a believer, and then if I want to go into it, I've got details about it. But that's not the testimony of the Lord.
Right.
So that's a huge...
The testimony of the Lord is that the human race died on the cross, that everything is vain and futile, that there's no war against good and evil. There's no... That if you're trying to improve yourself and get to the best of the best and you're trying to... blah, 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 then you're making yourself acceptable to the one who has the right of first redemption. There's a great, I can't remember it, but it says, I mean, I can't remember where it is. It says, they will speak well of you when you do well unto yourself. So,
I think the shame comes in with the families because that's the first place you learned how to worship.
Right.
Was among a, you had a role, and there were certain things that were important, and there were certain things that weren't talked about. And so family activities are like worship. And what you're saying is now I'm coming, you know, I'm like Abraham going through smashing the idols with the axe. And that is, it's shameful because your family has been, you've held on to that family for so long as an important idol.
Yeah, your family was just as Terah was for Abraham, or for Nimrod. I mean, he was the idol maker. Especially if you're the firstborn, you become the idol maker for the family. Because the firstborn, there's all kinds of things expected of you.
This is all so tied into the groves and the high places and all that stuff.
Amen. All right, let's see if we can understand this better. Let's go to Acts chapter 4. Chapter 4, Peter and John had just been arrested again. They were threatened, and that's when the famous saying is, where is it? Let's start at verse 13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, "What shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle had been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them, and they speak henceforth to no one in his name." And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all or teach in the name of Jesus. Now, that was one of the first things that happened after Pentecost. Now, that's why it's so important to read with understanding the speech of Paul after his on Pentecost speech, and the speech of Stephen in the council, Sanhedrin. They are so incredibly powerful. Nothing is withholden. They speak of everything your fathers did. They stoned the prophets. They did this. Now that you've killed the son, you've lost. Now, so they spoke the fullness of the testimony of our Lord. Now, what happened? Because they did, they were arrested. Now, what would be a companion situation here? I mean a corollary in a modern society. The corollary would be that the idolatry that exists in Dallas, Texas is awesome. It's mind-blowing. It's mind-bending. Dallas is a city built on usury. It's air. The value systems, the gated communities, the treatment of the poor are legion. that the mistreatment of the poor.
What was that word? Mistreat?
The mistreatment.
Oh, mistreatment.
Of the poor. We have a policeman in our Bible study, and there's literally, they're doing whatever is possible to get the homeless off the streets. They don't care whether it's false arrests, or they have them sign blank tickets so they can mess with them every day, and it goes on and on and on. But it's not just Dallas; it's all over. You go to Santa Barbara, California, where it was just when I was there for 3 weeks, it was mind bending what they were doing to the homeless. Now, do we as believers speak out against that? What about, let's go to another one. In Israel, from the very beginning, the Arab Christians were so unbelievably mistreated by the Israelis, nobody spoke out against it. They burned their homes, they massacred whole villages and then took pictures of it and set it up so that this will happen to you if you don't leave. And some of the terrorists in the Palestinian terrorists, where George Habash was the Christian leader, and now he's, I don't know if he's still alive or not, but he's one of the leaders of the PLO. Do the Christians speak out against the mistreatment of our fellow believers? I haven't heard it. So the opportunities are endless to speak the full counsel or the full testimony of our Lord. But we don't do it. What, you're doing it again? You're gelling.
Yeah, I'm gelling. To just fertile ground here.
Well, this is why, let's read the rest of this. Verse 19. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. And so when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them, because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done. For the man was above 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing was shown. Now I had a small taste of this on the McCutcheon show, which was on PBS. I was a member of a panel. There were three of us that were the panel. And they had invited homeless people all from all over around here to come and be the audience. And so they were, McCutcheon, he's a great host for a television show, but he wanted to try to get the right answers about how this person was dealing with the homeless, how that person was dealing with them, what could be done. And I said, wait, how can you possibly, you don't have the right to speak about homelessness and what you should do about it until you have one living in your home. Well, the whole crowd stood up and cheered, and I was like a hero for that one statement. No, I was an enemy to some others, the others, but that's a small taste of what that should empower us.
We need to take over school boards and city councils.
No, we don't. We just need to speak about what they're doing.
Hope the badgers.
Comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable. All right, let's read.
Speaking of
being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they had heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, the which hath made heaven and earth, and the sea, and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, Why do the heathen rage, and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. That's not a what happens back then. That is a what happens always. Understand?
This is actually historical in that it involved the life of Christ at the time he was here.
Right.
But what we're doing is targeting or interpolating for what this means in life now.
Right. Because the same, remember all things happen at once? Because we're out of time. So everything, it's the same. It's exactly the same. Yeah. Wherever you are.
Yeah, this one of the most difficult things to do is to make it so this isn't history, this is life.
Right.
And all of our idols are so hidden, you know, unless someone points them out, you know, we get that little assist.
We're just waiting in the morning.
All right. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together, for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and the signs and wonders may be done by the name of the holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul, and neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Which came first? The great power or the not being ashamed of the testimony? I think if you look at the scriptures, in every case, They said, they preached the full counsel in every place they went. In Ephesus, which was the home of the what was it, Diana's temple and all that stuff, they raved against it, raged against it. They did something against it. In Corinth was the same thing. They just blew them apart. Well, we sit and we do our little thing.
I remember when we first had we did the news conference about the homeless here in Dallas, and just sort of it blew our group apart pretty much. We disrupted our lives, and we were inundated with homeless people, and somehow we kind of got away from that. Maybe I don't know.
Oh, I'm not saying. I'm just saying, don't be ashamed of the testimony. The rest of it is God's business.
This the shame, and then this 32, 3, and 4, the power of the Spirit nullifies the shame. It doesn't exist in that place. And there's no filter. You know.
There's no Satan's half second.
Yeah, you're not thinking of yourself. It's gone. And the freedom to speak is just automatic.
All right, let's look at some others. Go to Acts 7.
And you were going to do dispensationalism today.
What?
And you're still going to do dispensationalism this morning.
You read billboards today.
Acts 7 is Stephen's defense.
Mm-hmm.
verse 37. Please read the whole thing. But this is that Moses, which said unto the children of Israel, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him you shall hear. This is he that was in the church in the wilderness with the angel which spake to him in the Mount Sinai, and with our fathers, who also received the lively oracles to give unto us, to whom our fathers would not obey, but thrust him from them, and in their hearts turned back again to Egypt, saying unto Aaron, make us gods to go before us. As for our this Moses, which brought us out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what has become of him. And they made a calf in those days, and offered sacrifice unto the idol, and rejoiced in the works of their own hands. And God turned and gave them up to worship the host of heavens, as it is written in the book of the prophets, so house of Israel, have you offered to me slain beasts and sacrifices by the space of 40 years in the wilderness? Yea, you took up the tabernacle of Molech, and the star of your God Rephaim, figures which you made to worship them, and I will carry you away beyond Babylon. Our fathers had the tabernacle of witness in the wilderness, and as he appointed, speaking unto Moses, that he should make it according to the fashion that he had seen. And it goes on and on. It talks about this full council. And he was talking to the men and saying that they had killed Jesus. Full counsel. All those arguments about, you know, whether the Passion of the Christ was anti-Semitic or not. I was on a couple programs, but I said, no, we killed Jesus. It's not the Jews or the Romans. In order for you to have any understanding of the mystery, you have to see that you killed him.
And you do it again.
And you do it every day. All right. Let's go to Revelation 19 or 15. I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God. And I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast, and over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy. For all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest. And after that I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was open. The tabernacle of the testimony was followed. They led them out of Egypt. The tabernacle of the testimony is a type. It shows the pattern that was to come. That pattern was what we call the law, the pattern. But it was all a revelation of Jesus Christ. And so the full testimony was that tabernacle went through every. You remember what they did to the, who was the first, apparently I got a mental block, who was the first tribe that came against Israel in the wilderness?
Amalek.
So anyway, and wherever they went, the entire world was against them. Same is true now. You are now the tabernacle of the testimony of our Lord. You're not this helpless little victim of circumstances. Let's go to one more. Go to Revelation 19. Chris Sanders is going to start hollering at me in a minute.
You have 6 minutes to spare?
after these things. Now, what after what things? The things that were in 17 and 18 were the destruction of Babylon. But the destruction of Babylon has to take place in you. Your whole world of cause and effect that you conduct your life by is the world of Babylon. To come out of Babylon is more difficult than to come out of Egypt. Because coming out of Egypt, it's simply the survival of the fittest, and you found out you weren't fit. But the mystery of Babylon, coming out of Babylon, is so endemic. It's all the world is wondering after the beast and the whore that sits on the seven mountains. That's all in your mind. And their primary worship vehicle is cause and effect. It's the greatest enemy there is of mercy and grace. Everybody understand that a little bit?
This is the point of laboring to enter into rest, because cause and effect, Babylon, the whole thing, that's how the world works.
Yeah, but it has to first be taken care of in you.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah. It's difficult to deny everything you've ever learned about the way it works and believe and be in rest.
I remember Harry's, when we were going to have that show at it was an announcer, Harry wrote this thing. It says, consider the possibility that everything that you have ever learned, everything you don't know, and everything the world knows is wrong.
That's a big request.
Consider that possibility. All right. And so after these things, now after these things, when Babylon is destroyed in you, after these things I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments, for he hath judged the great whore which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, Hallelujah, and her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshipped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen. Now, you've got to hear this. If you've never heard anything else, the 4 beasts are the 4 cardinal points of a compass, north, south, east, west. The 4 beasts fell down and worshiped. There's nothing left to do. The 24 elders, which are the 24 courses of the priesthood in the temple, time of Christ, there were 144 priests. 144,000 priests. Now, they all, every course of the priesthood, fell down and worshipped. There's nothing left to do. And they each said, Amen. It's over. And the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen. Hallelujah. And a voice came out of the throne, saying, Praise our God, all you servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he said unto me, Write, Blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him, and he said unto me, See thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness doth he judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. Now, we all have the testimony of Jesus. We all know within us the full counsel of the testimony of God. But because of our idolatry, because of our attempts and our trying, and all of that mystery, the fullness of it, takes a back seat because of their humility. They become suppressed in you because of you. You understand? Because the evil one has raised himself from the dead, from the deadly head wound, which is you and I.
So when that happens, the testimony, you know, the spirit of prophecy is...
The spirit of prophecy is this...
Doesn't exist.
Never again. The testimony of our Lord is the spirit of prophecy. So there's never a thought of what you're going to say next. It's just bubbling like the wine.
Whole world's just trying to get ahead.
Everybody got a little bit of understanding of this? What the testimony of Jesus really is? We'll continue on that tomorrow. I hope. Anybody have any thoughts? Kevin? You always have some thoughts.
Amen.
That's it?
I think he's running for city council over there.
I always should run for governor. Full circle here. We had a broadcasting network. Just think what we did. Or a magazine.
Everybody understand perfectly. Take a big breath.